Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark's City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
We're in a summer series and it's all about topping up. So the pastors of the church have come up with this series for summer, topping up on and whatever the topic of the week is. So the topic that I've been given is top up on your coverage. And, you know, we're always concerned about our mobile phone coverage, aren't we? This is kind of the comparison we're having. Personally, I have no mobile phone coverage in my house, which is really frustrating. You're the same, Emma. So unless it's a Wi-Fi WhatsApp call or text, it's going straight to voicemail if I get a phone call. So I have to be standing in an open doorway to make a call or listen to a voicemail. And it's very frustrating. But I remember a time before mobile, this is how old I am. I remember a time, an adult time, before mobiles and since, and it's very clear in my memory, it used to be back then when you'd go on holiday, there was no point bringing your mobile with you because you'd be terrified you're going to pay to receive the text someone sent you. You're definitely not answering a phone call because that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. So you just didn't bother bringing your mobile anywhere. But things are very different now for us because our phones go everywhere with us, don't they? Like we're attached to them. They go everywhere with us. We're so used to having them all the time and we don't want to be out of coverage. This is the link we're making. We really don't want to be out of coverage. So we're bringing our mobiles and we're hoping. And this week I was asked, my friend had a spare ticket to a play and I didn't even know what the play was going to be about, called The Cave in the Abbey. And lo and behold, the first 10 minutes, all I could hear was the coverage, the coverage, the coverage. Two country fellas in a cave and there's no coverage on the mobile, the coverage. And I thought, that's mad. I'm after spending this week writing this message about the coverage, the coverage. And Ben very kindly is personally matching our slides to us. So he looked for a young woman looking for mobile phone coverage near a coal mine with my Welsh background. So this is what we've got here, up in a tree looking for mobile phone coverage. And if I had a tree in my garden, that would be me. So speaking of Wales, I travel home to Wales a couple of times a year and I go on the boat. I still call it home, even after 23 years. And you know, when you leave the port, you're not long out of the port and the coverage disappears. Now, usually the morning I go, I'm running around and get this, do this, pack this and sort the kids. And by the time you get onto the boat, you find a table and get the picnic set up for the kids, get yourself a coffee, go to the toilet. And just as I sit down and think, I've got 3.5 hours now to reply to my texts and emails and sorry, I missed your calls, but there's no coverage. For 3.5 hours, I'm going to sit there with all the time in the world, but no coverage to be able to respond to these messages. So today's message is a reminder. It's going to be a reminder about how with God, we've always got coverage. So how the presence of God is always with us and that no matter where we are physically or spiritually, we can always get a signal with the Lord. Amen. So this is going to be an encouraging message and I'm going to propose today to illustrate my points, 3 suggested names for our network. This is going to be a short message. You'll be really glad to hear. And I didn't mean for that to happen. And I thought, oh, that's a bit short. And then Des rang and said, can we have some time? Sorry to eat into the time to have these testimonies. And I said, that's perfect. Because you know what? God knew today needed that time. So this is a short message. And I'm going to suggest 3 network names for our coverage. The first one is Yahweh. If I had to name our network that has perfect coverage, I would call it Yahweh. Forget 3. The advertising line for this network would be, I am who I am. So in Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So the name Yahweh is also known as the Tetragrammaton. It's the name that God gave us for himself, his personal name. And it's a mysterious name derived from a verb that means to be or to exist. And in Judaism, it's known as the unpronounceable name of God. They revere it and they won't say it out loud. So the Bible doesn't say that that name shouldn't be said out loud. The Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, doesn't actually say that it shouldn't be that, but they've developed a tradition of not using it. So hopefully I'm not offending any Jewish brothers or sisters, if there happens to be any here this morning. In Deuteronomy 3:16, it says this. This is a scripture we know well in this church. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. When you look at that verse in your Bible, you'll notice Lord is written in all caps. So maybe you're aware of this, and maybe you're not. But when you see Lord written in your Bible in all caps, it's because it's the word Yahweh. Before the original Hebrew word used, before it's translated, was Yahweh, God's personal name. So we see here in the scripture, naming God with his personal name and telling us that Yahweh goes with us and never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that word forsake is a Hebrew word, azab, which means to leave, forsake, abandon, leave behind, let go. So that scripture's assuring us that God's not going to do any of those things to us ever. And we're assured as well in that scripture that he goes with us. Where? Everywhere we go in this journey that we call life, he's going with us. And if we look at verse 8, which is another one that we know very well. So Deuteronomy 31 verse 8, it says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. What an encouragement. Again, Lord is all caps. Yahweh, it's personal. It's his personal name, an assurance given to you. But if you look at the detail in that scripture, he goes before you and will be with you. So this is giving us a glimpse into the omnipresence of God. That means his ability to be everywhere all at once. So for example, if I look at this as, I like to think I'll protect my kids if the need arises. God is telling us about protecting us. So if I were to go on a mountain trail walk, let's make this example in America, because it's quite different to do a mountain trail walk in America to Ireland, because you've got bears, mountain cats, fellas with guns. So let's say I'm bringing my kids on a mountain trail walk in America, and I've got two options. I say to them, A, I'm going to go ahead of you and I'll scout the path and I'll deal with any dangers before you even get around the bend. My kids are going to say, that's a reassurance, but no, Mom, don't leave us. We don't want to be alone. We want you to be with us. So if I said to them, B, okay, then I'll just stay and walk the path with you, then they've got the reassurance of my presence, but I won't know what's around the next bend or be able to deal with any dangers before they walk right into them. And God is so amazing. He says in the scripture, I'll go ahead of you, deal with your enemies, deal with the threats and the danger, and I'll be with you every step of the way at the same time, right alongside you. Now, if that's not good coverage, I don't know what is. And Psalm 23 is a psalm that we all know well. Everybody, even non-Christians, the Lord is my shepherd, that one. So again, guess what? It's all caps. Yahweh is my shepherd. I just want to focus on verse 4 for a second. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yahweh is with us no matter what, no matter where, with perfect coverage all the time. That's reassuring. The last scripture that I want to attach to this point is in Psalm 139, which Emma then read in our prayer meeting before the service. And I was like, no way. Well, I'm not reading the exact same verses, but I was like, Psalm 139. I have that this morning. Psalm 139 is brilliant. And I know I've spoken on Psalm 139 a few times before, but I love it. Read it when you get home. So I'm going to read verses 7 to 10. But just to point out that in verse 1, again, the start of this little psalm, it says, oh, Yahweh, it's Lord in all caps. And it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. He is always there. It's telling us that no matter where we go, there is nowhere that we can go where his presence won't be. Nowhere. And that is perfect coverage. Amen. My second network suggestion is Emmanuel. If I had to name our network with its perfect coverage, I'd call it Emmanuel. Forget O2. Right, what is this name, Emmanuel? Isaiah 7:14 says, and this is Isaiah speaking through the spirit of prophecy, many, many, many years before Jesus ever came. Therefore, The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us, or with us is God. That's the Yoda version of it. So in Matthew 1, 22 to 23, he lists out Jesus's genealogy and Mary's pregnancy story. And then it says this: all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And we need to remember that in Bible times, names had meaning. A lot of meaning was attached to names. And Isaiah was prophesying that God would come to earth through virgin birth and be with us. And in Matthew 28, and again, this is amazing, that Irena spoke about the Great Commission. I was like, look at this. What are you doing, Lord? You're amazing. Matthew 28, 20, that section in your Bible is known as the Great Commission. Again, now that it's been brought up twice, why not go home and think, I'll read the Great Commission before bed tonight. In Matthew 28, 20, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. So he had risen from the dead after crucifixion, but he hadn't gone to be with the Father yet. And he said, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And if you read that in the King James Version, which is the most accurate literal translation of the original text, it says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that word lo, that was used at the beginning of the sentence, is a Greek word, idu. If you think of it as like an exclamation mark, it's drawing your attention. It's calling your attention to what you're about to hear. So Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, has promised to be with us always. He's saying, pay attention to this. Listen up. I'll be with you always. Even though he knew he was going to go back up to heaven and be with the Father. So was Jesus a liar? No, we know he wasn't. And he's promised that. Then after Jesus' ascension, so when he left the disciples and has gone back up, we're with Paul in Acts. And Paul was witnessing to the Greeks in Acts 17, and he was having a really hard time in Thessalonica, and he was run out of the place, actually, by the people there. And in Athens, then, he finds himself being invited to share his ideas in a meeting of the Areopagus. So this was a bit like the House of Lords in Athens. It was a prominent place on a hill, a sort of theatre-type space where all of the bigwigs, it was this, all the philosophers and the lawmakers and the prominent, important people, they would meet and they would bash out their ideas and argue philosophy, and they weren't Christians. But because Paul had been going around and giving all these really good sermons in the streets, they said, let's, you know, pick this guy's philosophy apart. And they invited him to come and speak in the Areopagus. And actually, some of them got saved after this. Not that that's part of my point, but amazingly, some of them got saved from that. Anyway, in his message, he says this. I'm going to read from Acts 17, 24 to 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. He's speaking to people who worship Greek gods, who go to different temples for different sacrifices to make to Greek gods. And he's telling them about the real God, the King of Kings. And he's telling them that seek him, reach out for him and find him, because he's not far from any one of us. He's not far from any one of us. That means that even these non-believers who worshiped idols only had to turn, seek, find. He is not far even from them. And I'm going to read a little brief story from Smith Wigglesworth. Put your hand up if you've ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth in here. There's a few. So for those that haven't heard of Smith Wigglesworth, he was one of the key figures in the Pentecostal movement. He was a working class illiterate man. He was a plumber. He was saved. And when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, his wife said, my Smith has gone. He was so changed by his meeting with the Holy Spirit that he became a different man. And he developed this ministry of healing and preaching and teaching that was incredible. And if you get a chance to read stories about his life or read books, honestly, go for it, because what an incredible character. Literally, the devil appeared in his house. Such was the power of what he was doing. And Smith Wigglesworth, knowing the power of God in him, didn't care a jot. The devil was in his house. What a character. So he was living between 1859 and 1947. Amazingly, my own granddad held up people for him to pray for when he was doing revival meetings in Staffordshire, which I think is wild to me to think that that's so recent in history. But he was a powerful speaker. And what I want to just read here is he talks about when he was filled with the Holy Spirit and a revelation that he had. It's only brief. He says, after I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Lord gave me a blessed revelation. I saw Adam and Eve turned out of the garden for their disobedience. They were unable to partake of the tree of life, for the cherubim with the flaming sword kept them away from this tree. When I was baptized, I saw that I had begun to eat of this tree of life, and I saw that the flaming sword surrounded it. It was there to keep the devil away. How marvelously he keeps us so that the wicked one cannot touch us. I see a place in God where Satan cannot come. We are hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. He invites us all to come and share this wonderful hidden place. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91:1. God has this place for you in this blessed realm of grace. What I love about that, he's bringing out two scriptures just to say he's had a personal revelation of what this means. We are hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3, and that we're in the secret place of the Most High. In terms of coverage, we are saying we are at ground zero. We're in the epicenter. We're sitting right under the mobile phone mast when it comes to coverage with our God. Amen. My last point in this is my third suggestion, Ruach HaKodesh. So if we're going to name our network with perfect coverage, we will call it Ruach HaKodesh. Forget Vodafone. And it's a bit of a mouthful, this one. Ruach HaKodesh is the Hebrew name for the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. That was the term that was used in the Old Testament for the Holy Spirit. So in the New Testament, the most often used name for the Holy Spirit is Pneumahagion, which is also a mouthful. And that's the holy breath or the holy wind of God. And that's used a lot through Matthew, Luke, John, Acts, and the Ephesians, and through the epistles as well. Often John's gospel, though, he used the term parakletos. And that was Greek for advocate, counselor, comforter. But all of these words are referring to the same thing, though, the Holy Spirit of God, part of the Trinity. So we're just saying that Jesus said, I'll be with you always. And then, disappeared up into heaven to be with the Father. So did he lie when he said that? No, because guess what else he said? In John 14, and this is a passage that's labeled in your Bibles as Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. It says this in verses 16 to 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Hallelujah for that. I'm going to leave you the Spirit of God, the breath of God, to be with you forever because he lives with you and will be in you. That is such a reassurance. We've been given a helper, a constant presence that will be with us forever, to live with us and in us, that powerful, mighty breath of God. And in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, don't you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, you should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. You've received the Holy Spirit from God. You do not own yourselves. Guys, that presence, that coverage, it couldn't be any closer. It's in us. If I can ask the worship team to come back up while I finish out with a final scripture, please. We're going to finish in Titus. Titus, what a book. I mean, we don't often read from Titus. And it's a small little book, and it's actually just a letter to the person Titus from Paul. But it's a great, concise reminder about our faith, and it's a worthy closing scripture. So I'm just going to read Titus 3, 5 to 8. And it says this: He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. I love that he's saying that. Stress these things to the believers, the people that have trusted in God, because this is important. This is excellent. So what is he stressing? Well, that we've been saved and how we've been saved. But I love that he's saying the Holy Spirit, who God has poured out generously through Jesus Christ. We're coming back to this Holy Trinity picture again, that Jesus is God with us on earth. But Jesus ascends and says, I will leave you the Holy Spirit. And it's saying that God has poured out this Holy Spirit on us generously through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. So let's devote ourselves all over again to the constant presence, the best coverage, and the author and finisher of our faith. And remember that we don't have to worry about whether we've got coverage because we've not been so great attending church lately, or we haven't been reading our Bible so much lately, or I've veered right off the path and I've been living a crazy life lately. Because no matter where we're at, that coverage is there. We read that scripture. Any one of us, he's close to any one of us. If we might just reach out and take a hold of him and find him, because he's so close to any one of us. And the promise that's in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit will be in us and will be left as a helper for us forever. Amen. So we're going to worship to finish out the service, guys.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.